You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship.
And I'm Danielle Knapp from Liturgy Training Publications. Good morning.
And we are here every fourth Wednesday of the month from 9 to 10, dealing with just about every aspect of our Catholic corporate, communal, public celebrations of the liturgy. Can I get any other adjectives in there? any aspect of the church's liturgical life is fodder for our show. We talk about specific liturgies and specific rites. We talk about the liturgical seasons. We've been talking an awful lot about the Roman Missal.
We're taking a break on that today.
Exactly. Actually, right before the show, Danielle and I noted that it was a year ago this month that we started breaking open the texts, walking through the order of Mass in preparation for the third edition of the Roman Missal. And I'm happy to take a little break up from it
as well.
Certainly that's underway, and hoping that for all the listeners and all of the parishes in the Archdiocese that the transition continues to go well. For this show, it is the first of 2012. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
And we start a brand new calendar year where we've already begun a new liturgical year, but with all of that,
we're in a new season. Yeah. We've just obviously ended the Christmas season. I'm very sad about that, I have to admit.
Oh, come on. Who are you kidding? The Christmas season never ends for you.
No, it doesn't.
She puts her tree up before Thanksgiving and she takes it down, around 4th of July?
It's still up. Yeah. I've been busy.
Feast of the Presentation.
Yes, it's the old calendar. I follow the Tridentine calendar on that.
February 2nd, that's when the Christmas season ends.
But anyway, we concluded the Christmas season on the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, which
on Monday this year.
Was Monday, yeah, which is very unusual. I think it can't go past the 13th or 14th of January. So if Epiphany is later, which it was this year, it is moved from the following Sunday to the Monday that follows Epiphany. So it was a little bit shorter this year. And we began Ordinary Time. So we are now in the second week of Ordinary Time. This past Sunday was the second Sunday, which, because normally a Baptism of the Lord following on a Sunday and then Ordinary Time coming the very next day, there is no first Sunday of Ordinary Time. We begin counting it with the weekday.
Actually, third Sunday of Ordinary Time was this past Sunday. No. Because we missed that first Sunday, there is no Sunday.
Exactly.
It can be confusing.
Exactly.
But we thought that that would be, just given all of this, brand new calendar year and well into a new liturgical year, that would be the focus for this show. It's been a while since we've talked about the seasons as we've gone through the year and such, but I don't remember the last time we talked about the liturgical year as a whole.
No, I don't think we've done that for quite a while, if we have at all.
One of my favorite aspects of being Catholic, the liturgical year. I love the fact that we have that our time is ordered differently. Ordered differently than the rest of the world, than those who don't follow Christ, than ordered differently than those who don't believe. Just the way that it's structured, the various seasons, there's such a rhythm to it, huh?
Our time is ordered around the celebration of the Paschal Mystery. So the life, the death, the resurrection of Christ, all those mysteries are celebrated throughout the course of the year, and we focus on different aspects of that mystery throughout the year.
Just the way you said that, and you and I have had this conversation before, but the fact that I mean, everybody's got to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it around which you order your time?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, every human being has to answer that question somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it that for you orders your time?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that for you orders your days? And for us Catholics, we say it's the Paschal mystery of Christ.
Right. All our life should flow from that mystery.
And lead back to it. You know, funny, whenever I talk about the liturgical year in class or workshops or whatever, you got to start really by talking about the idea of sacred time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you have to begin with if you want to understand the liturgical calendar. And for us Catholics, you know, truly, there are two ways of marking time. There's chronos time, you know, K-R-O-N-O-S.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's where we get our sense, our word, chronological. But it's chronos time, which is, that's physical time,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, right?
The order of time.
Yeah, yeah,
mm-hmm.
the way we experience it. It's passing time. It's time that can be marked.
Right.
It's, you know, you can mark its passing on the clock.
Right.
There's a past to it, right? There's a present.
Mm-hmm.
There's a future. That's chronos. That's how we experience time in the physical world, in this world that's governed by its own laws.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also another sense of time for us Catholics.
The kairos time, which is God time.
Yeah, and many people have heard that word as well, both of these Greek terms. But kairos, yeah, it's God's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's no past.
Mm-hmm.
There's no present. There's no future. God experiences none of that. Heaven is not with a past, present, and future. It's just the eternal now.
There was never a time when Christ was not.
Yeah.
God is beyond all time. And before the show started, Todd and I were talking about one of the prefaces for Christmas. It's actually preface 2, but how God began to exist in time. So God is beyond time, yet he came into time to sanctify it.
His own into his own creation. That's that incarnational theology that you
that
are
I
so
love
fond
so much.
Of. Yeah, exactly. but that idea then that kairos, God's time, and you know what I think is so profound is certainly God has entered Chronos,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm,
God
mm-hmm,
entered into mm-hmm. this physical time as we count it, as we experience it. But there are also times when we enter into God's time.
Right, right. And through the celebration of the Eucharist or all liturgical celebrations, we are brought into that realm, into
exactly.
that sacred realm.
That the liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
The liturgy is the doorway into God's time,
it's
into
the
sacred
already
time.
And the not yet.
I'll also make mention of this when I'm teaching about the liturgical year and this sense of time. But our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters remember it much more robustly than
they
we do.
They do.
For them, I mean, the Divine Liturgy, that's
mm-hmm.
that's the liturgical, the Eucharist. When they enter, it's just more commonly held, you know,
mm-hmm.
people are more aware. When you enter into the Divine Liturgy, you enter into
the heavenly
kingdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like
mm-hmm.
a hole opens up between
mm-hmm.
heaven and earth. And for that period, for that time, heaven and earth are united.
Right, exactly. And I don't think Western Catholics would deny that.
No,
you know,
and we don't.
Because it's the foretaste of the heavenly kingdom. We talk about that all the time. But you're right, I think the Easterns have a stronger sense of it in their consciousness.
Yeah, it's part of our Western liturgical life as well.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't remember it as strongly.
Right.
We'll pick it up there when we come back. Stay with us for more Focus on the Liturgy right after these messages.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
When a neighbor's cupboards are bare, we help. When our cupboards are bare, we need your help. The past few months have been the most difficult for families that come to Catholic Charities for food. Demand is up and donations are down. Help us restock our shelves so we can feed those in need this winter. Visit catholiccharities.net/food or call 312-655-7525 to find out how you can help.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And this month we're talking about the liturgical year. It's a brand new calendar year, 2012. We've just finished the opening of the liturgical year with the Advent and Christmas cycle. And so it just seemed appropriate to spend our show looking at the whole of the liturgical year. And just in that first segment, kind of introducing, you can't talk about the liturgical year without talking about a Catholic sense of time. Mm-hmm. And so talking about the differences between Chronos and Kairos, mm-hmm. the way we experience time and the way that that God does, in a sense, timelessness, the eternal now. Mm-hmm. That's Kairos. It's God's time. And that profound sense that when we enter into the liturgy, in a sense, we clock out of Chronos. We clock out of our time, and we go on to God's time.
Right. What we're celebrating in every liturgy is, as we've said before many times, is a foretaste of the heavenly kingdom. And what we're doing here on earth models what is going on in the heavenly kingdom, but we're not separated. We're participating in it together. And we've talked about that connection with incarnational theology mm-hmm. before, that through the incarnation, heaven and earth are wedded. And, you know, looking at that further, time becomes unified, that Chronos time and Kairos time are intertwined.
Yeah.
God, who is beyond all time, pitched a tent and dwelled among us and unifies himself with us. So he becomes part of time and sanctifies that time. And so through our participation in his mysteries, they are ever present now before us.
You and I were talking about this before the show, that I remember that aha moment. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that that in the liturgy we partake, we enter into all-encompassing sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. And it was always, there was a challenge for me to understand. Mm-hmm. How is, I knew it, I would mm-hmm. believed it, I was mm-hmm. taught it, but, you know, how do you make sense of the Eucharist is a representation of the sacrifice on Calvary, until what clicked was that idea that in the eternal now, in God's time, that all-encompassing sacrifice of Christ on Calvary is always before God.
Right.
There is no past.
Right.
For that matter, all of the great salvific acts of God throughout history are always before him.
Right.
The saving of the Israelites through the Red Sea.
Right.
You know, the great Exodus account. Right. That event is always before God. It's mm-hmm. always there, it's never past.
Those accounts of salvation history are our story. They're always present.
Yep.
And to clarify that for the listeners, there may be confusion about what is that representation, because that sacrifice isn't repeated. It's not happening again and again.
It never stopped.
Right. It's the one sacrifice that is always present. And through our prayers, we are unifying our sacrifices with his sacrifice, the one sacrifice that is not repeated, that's always ongoing.
Because the every liturgy is the very prayer mm-hmm. of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, it's that idea that we enter into that. That,
right.
that great prayer of praise and thanks that Christ offers the Father is eternal, mm-hmm. is continuing.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's heaven. That was mm-hmm. John, remember, that was John's great vision of heaven in the Revelation,
right?
And in the liturgy, Christ associates ours with his.
Right.
He unites our praise and thanks that with his that is eternal and
mm-hmm.
continuing and
mm-hmm.
always
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the great mystery of faith that's proclaimed in the liturgy. So that sanctification of time, yeah, it happened through the great mystery that we've just finished celebrating,
mm-hmm.
right? The incarnation. And gosh darn it, if we're not going to find a way to bring in the Paschal candle again. But you hear that at the annual blessing of the Paschal candle on
right.
Holy Saturday night.
Well, the Easter Vigil is obviously the center of our life as Christians. It's the high point, the high liturgical celebration of the year. And in the very beginning of that liturgy is the blessing of fire and then the lighting of the Paschal candle, which on the Paschal candle is marked the numerals of that calendar year.
Yeah.
So this year they'll inscribe 2012
mm-hmm.
into the Paschal candle. And as that's being done, this beautiful prayer is read, which Todd and I absolutely love. And it really speaks to how Christ is beyond time, but within our time,
mm-hmm.
and that everything belongs to him. Christ yesterday and today, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, all time belongs to him and all the ages. To him be glory and power through every age and forever. Amen.
Through that great mystery, all of time has been
mm-hmm.
made
mm-hmm.
holy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of creation has been made holy.
Right.
And yeah, all time, all seasons, elsewhere we hear, belong to him.
Mm-hmm.
So the very sense of time itself being sanctified, that's the starting point to talk about the liturgical year.
Right.
Because it only then grows from there, right? I mean, that it only develops from there. So you talk about the liturgical year, you start with the sense that that time is sacred, that Christ has made that. And then
it's sacred, it's circular.
Rhythmic.
Yes, it's
patterned.
Rhythmic. It's ordered. We're in ordinary time right now, which means counted time.
Not ordinary in the sense of common.
Right.
Not ordinary in the
right.
sense of, you know.
It's from the Latin ordinal, which means counted time. So we're marking each Sunday by a number. But that's determined by when that celebrate is determined from the date of Easter, which is the center. So everything is ordered around that death and resurrection
right.
of Christ.
And of course, we know that that's determined by the lunar calendar,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The date of Easter itself. But as you say, it's the very heart of the liturgical year. The whole liturgical year, in a sense, revolves,
exactly.
You know, emanates out of that and is ordered around
mm-hmm.
it. We'll pick it up there when we come back. So stay with us here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We'll be back with more Focus on the Liturgy after this.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. and I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization. And you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
And welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And we're talking about the ordering of our time, the liturgical year. And during the break, Danielle, something caught your eye from the preface for the second preface for Christmas. But what caught your eye is something that's actually part of almost all of the prefaces.
Sure. Well, obviously our prayer texts point to what we believe. And in every liturgy that we celebrate in the Mass, that concept of time is always evident in various prayers throughout the Mass. But something that caught my eye is the first few lines of every preface. And there are variations to this depending on the day.
You've got the dialogue.
So after the Lord be with you and with your spirit, lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just. This follows. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. So you've got that Kairos time, that eternal God. But on our time, on the Chronos side, it's our right, our duty, always and everywhere to give you thanks.
Always.
That we are making an eternal offering of praise. And that's intertwined with the eternal God.
Where heaven and earth meet, where mm-hmm. time ceases,
exactly.
where that great mystery of faith is mm-hmm. always and everywhere.
You talked about the
celebrated.
Eastern Church being very attuned mm-hmm. to that. It's here. It's
yeah.
written all
oh, yeah.
over our liturgy.
Yep.
I think it escapes us, but it's there.
Excellent point. It is there. And something that I think is well worth us reminding ourselves mm-hmm. of. The liturgy isn't just a nice ceremony.
No.
You know, it's,
no.
There is a metaphysical, mm-hmm. there is a supernatural aspect to it in that sense.
We're brought into the kingdom. It's that foretaste. We're celebrating with heaven and earth. We are sanctified. Time is sanctified.
All of it.
We go forth to be transformed and then come back into it.
Always. Mm-hmm. What I think is, again, so profound is that for us, the church orders all of that time through what? The liturgy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what orders our time, and not just weekly, even daily for those who might take part in the Eucharist on a daily schedule. But even beyond that, just in the increment of the day itself
mm-hmm.
is sanctified, is made holy by the church's liturgy.
Right, the liturgy of the hours is
that's
is
what
really
we're talking about.
The sanctification of time on a daily. Celebration, morning, midday, evening, night, all of the key hours of the day are marked by liturgical rites, liturgical prayer, that we give that eternal praise to God.
Let's spend a little bit of time talking about the Liturgy of the Hours, one of the best kept secrets of the Church, I think you might say,
on a wide level. Yeah.
The Liturgy of the Hours, what we're talking about there is the Divine Office, the Breviary, mm-hmm. all of those are terms used for the Liturgy of the Hours. The Liturgy of the Hours is prayed by the ordained mm-hmm. and the professed, mm-hmm. Those who are in religious vows. In fact, it is mandated mm-hmm. By the Church for those who are ordained and professed. But beyond that, in the introduction to the Liturgy of mm-hmm. the Hours, mm-hmm. It notes that not only are ordained and the professed called to mark the passing of the day with the Liturgy of the Hours, but it is the prayer of all
right.
the faithful.
It's the prayer of the Church. It's the prayer of all of us. And this is ancient. We can trace this back to our Jewish ancestors in faith and of marking the time. Jesus marked time by prayer. And I love the theology behind it because in the morning, the sun is rising. And so there's this...
Pun intended.
Yes. There's this theology of resurrection. And then the sun is setting, we're praying, and then we wait for it to come again. So there's...
Vigiling.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
that, yeah, and go back to that idea that this is the prayer of the Church, the prayer of all the faithful. So that means that anyone can mm-hmm. pray the Liturgy mm-hmm. of the Hours.
Mm-hmm. I'm not as good at it as I should be. I was better when I lived in community. When I was in graduate school with the monastic community, I would pray. I wasn't very good at morning prayer, I admit it. Not very good in the morning. But I would go to evening prayer almost every day. And then they didn't used to do, it was interesting, the community didn't do night prayer for a very long time. It was up to the monks to do that on their own. And then a small group of them got together and they decided to celebrate it as a community. And there was probably only 15 monks that would come on a regular basis, but they invited it open to the people, and several students from the graduate school would go over it. It was really, really simple, and
it is by mm-hmm. By its structure. Mm-hmm. That hour is very simple. So I try to be faithful to some component of the hours daily. But yeah, anybody can mm-hmm. Pray the Liturgy of the Hours. And maybe just to break that open a bit more for our listeners, what are these
what
hours?
Is it
yeah,
exactly?
yeah. I mean, notice when I teach the Liturgy mm-hmm. of the Hours, I always make this point. Notice that it is the liturgy, singular,
mm-hmm.
liturgy
mm-hmm.
of the hours, mm-hmm. plural.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
It is a series of liturgies that are celebrated over the course of the day. And Danielle, as you noted, it's ancient. It's something that we inherited from our Jewish forebears. The scriptures mm-hmm. Note at numerous times, the New Testament, the epistles and Acts, note at a number of points where, for example, Acts will say that Peter, James, and John went up to the temple at the ninth hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the apostles gathered at the third hour mm-hmm. of prayer. You'll hear those mm-hmm. references mm-hmm. in the scriptures. What that's referencing is this patterned order of prayer that our Jewish ancestors had followed mm-hmm. and still follow,
right? Exactly.
To this day, we inherited that,
mm-hmm.
and so the Liturgy of the Hours are these series of prayers, of rituals that are celebrated over the course of 24 hours.
Right.
There are
and,
seven of them.
Yeah, and the two main hours, which we call the hinge hours, are morning prayer and evening prayer. And the liturgy consists of an opening hymn and a verse calling us to pray, and then we sing psalms. This is really where psalmody is one of the more prevalent scripture texts of the liturgies. There would be a scripture reading and a gospel canticle. The Benedictus or the Canticle of Zechariah is in the morning. Evening prayer is the Canticle of Mary, and then night prayer is the Canticle of Simeon or the Nunc Dimittis.
Three early Christian hymns mm-hmm. that all come from Luke's gospel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll pick it up there when we come back. So stay with us. for more focus on the liturgy and the liturgical year when we come back right after these messages.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Focus on the Liturgy. Danielle and I are talking about the liturgical year. We haven't gotten very far in that first half hour. Talking about, well, really helping to that first half hour, setting the context, kind of a foundation for looking at the liturgical year. And the foundation is the sanctification of time.
Right.
And where we were before that last break, talking about how the day is sanctified by the liturgy of the hours, for us Catholics, we mark the passing of time liturgically,
right.
And in its smallest increment, the 24 hours of the day, that's marked with the celebration of these 7 hours.
And what you were talking about before, I mean, asking the question around what do we order our time, and look at your day as a Christian, and we are marking key moments of our day by praying to Christ.
Right.
Or praying through Christ, that eternal offering of praise that is Christ is ours at key points during the day.
At the morning, as you say, as we rise, right? Then from morning prayer, then there is mid-morning prayer, then afternoon prayer, and mid-afternoon prayer, then evening prayer. Then Compline or night prayer, normally the last prayer of the day before retiring, and then the office of readings.
Yes.
So those seven liturgies, those seven rituals combined are the one liturgy of the hours. Mm-hmm. And so that's on a daily basis. As the sun sets, as it rises, continually marked by the liturgy of the church. Yeah. And then, so that's the day. Mm-hmm. That's each day. Well, then take the increment out a bit wider. So from the day is sanctified by the liturgy of the hours. The week sanctified by the Lord's
Eucharist.
Day, the celebration on the Lord's Day, as St. Cyril of the, Cyril of Jerusalem? No, it was Justin Martyr. As Justin Martyr said in the first apology, on the day named after the Lord, the community gathers and celebrates the Lord's Supper.
And that's the start of the week. It's the start of the Christian week.
So the day, the passing of the day, ordered by the liturgy of the hours, the passing of the week.
And it's really almost an octave, if you will. There's official octaves, but given the circular nature of our sanctification, Sunday to Sunday. So you have 8 full days flowing from and back into each other.
That's the new creation, right?
And then, of course, moving from from daily to weekly. Then we have weeks of time, which lead us into the seasonal aspect, the breakdown of the seasons.
I love that sense. Huh? Mm-hmm. You know, the church says, okay, the day is made holy by the liturgy, with the liturgy of the hours. The week is made holy and sanctified by the celebration of the Eucharist on the Lord's Day. Mm-hmm. And then we say, all right, then we gather all of these Sundays.
Yes.
And say that during these Sundays, we'll mark a particular aspect of the Paschal mystery of Christ.
And it's really...
And that gives us the seasons.
And it's interesting when you look at the liturgical year as a whole, when you break it down that way in terms of these chunks of seasons, that temporal cycle of the passing of time. But then within that, on a daily celebration that are seasonal and daily, you have the sanctoral cycle. So all of those who have lived their lives of faith that we mark and honor on particular days that are found in that whole liturgical year. So it's kind of complex when you think about the idea of time.
And specifically because of that, for our listeners, let's back up just a minute. Mm-hmm. Temporal or the temporal cycle.
Time.
That's the chronos that we were talking about earlier. That's the way, the passing of time as we experience it in the physical, natural
world.
So
the celebration of the seasons, that's really that temporal cycle. So Advent, Christmas, Ordinary Time, all of those is the passing of time and how we've marked it.
And then you mentioned
the sanctoral cycle. So within
for our listeners,
the entire liturgical year, there are particular days that we set aside to celebrate and honor certain saints, those who have gone before us in faith. We highlight particular charisms or ways in which they identified with Christ and ordered their lives around Christ.
That's what we mean by the sanctoral cycle. Mm-hmm. That's the cycle of feasts and seasons, solemnities of the saints, the martyrs, and of Mary. Mm-hmm. And what's very, I think what's very cool about that is think of the what's the original or the traditional image of the liturgical year. It's
the circle, the wheel,
right? Mm-hmm. It's circular. So if you think about it, it's like concentric circles. The overarching cycle that that governs the passing of our time is the liturgical year and seasons.
Right.
Beginning brand new year is begun in Advent through Christmas and into where we are now. Ordinary time, Lent, East Triduum, Easter. Okay, so that's the overarching cycle. But then within that is, you know, a concentric circle.
Right.
That's the sanctoral cycle.
The things are going on simultaneously.
Right. That not only do we mark time seasonally, the passing of time, but we also mark the passing of time by remembering, as you said, they're our heroes, right?
Yeah, our heroes of faith.
The heroes and heroines of our faith. These are the saints and the martyrs. And as you said, that was a great image, Danielle, I think. Those who somehow... their lives mirrored a specific aspect of Christ's Paschal mystery.
Well, your question is keeps coming to me throughout this show around what do you order your time? And if you looked at each saint and asked them that question, those are the particular charisms in which they are identified with. And which we honor.
Yeah, and mark, and emulate, and hold up as examples for our own Christian life. Exactly. You're right. There is a complexity to it. There's a number of different forces or a number of different cycles by which we mark our time.
Right.
And then you look at the seasons. Go back to the seasonal the seasonal pattern of the year. Each of those given over to some aspect of that one mystery of Christ that takes a year for us to complete.
Exactly.
So Advent and Christmas, as we've said a number of times already, obviously that marks, celebrates, and observes.
Well, we begin with the end times and then lead into the incarnation.
Right.
And it's interesting, it just hit me about how we begin thinking of time.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Advent, I think most people should be aware, Advent doesn't begin by looking at Bethlehem. That's not how the year starts.
No.
The
first 2 weeks are all about the end times.
They all point us to forward.
The fullness of Christ's salvation and the end of time.
When Christ mm-hmm. returns in glory uh-huh. and completely establishes the kingdom.
Exactly.
As Paul says, when God will be all in all. That's how we begin the year.
And that segues, of course, into the incarnation.
Looking back. Mm-hmm. That's when it's in the second half of Advent that we begin looking back at Bethlehem.
And that season appropriately ends with baptism of the Lord, which launches his public ministry. So then as we enter the weeks of ordinary time.
Where we are now.
We hear all of the stories about his life, his miracles, his ministry.
And in this first part of ordinary time, before it's interrupted by Lent, mm-hmm. sometimes it's referred to as winter ordinary mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. ordinary time in winter. That's what the readings are.
Right.
The readings at the liturgy are all about the very beginning of Christ's public ministry.
Right.
That's where we'll pick up when we come back. So stay with us for more Focus on the Liturgy right after these messages.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18-1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And Danielle, right before that break, we were talking about the first part of Ordinary Time, the season we're in right now. Mm-hmm. And as you noted, how every year at this time, the liturgies, the readings in particular, point us to the beginning of Christ's earthly ministry.
Right.
And so during these weeks, we hear, depending on the gospel for that year, depending on what year we're in the lectionary cycle, we hear the calling of the first disciples, mm-hmm. right? We mm-hmm. hear those wonderful accounts of calling James and John, mm-hmm. right? Matthew, the tax collector, and mm-hmm. and Christ's first entry into his ministry.
Right.
You know, as Mark says, he appeared preaching, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Right.
So that marks this first part, and then ordinary time is interrupted.
Mm-hmm. By Lent, and of course we focus more on Christ's passion and suffering leading up to the celebration of Holy Week, which is begun with Palm Sunday, so a very specific focus on Christ's entry into Jerusalem and the passion.
His final days of his earthly ministry.
And which flows beautifully into the celebration of the Paschal Triduum.
The three days. Yeah. The heart, as mm-hmm. you said, that's the heart of the liturgical year.
Right.
Those 3 days. Everything else revolves mm-hmm. around that.
And that's where passion, death, resurrection are so clearly evident and intertwined, that is the focus of which those 3 days are ordered. And we go in from Holy Thursday with the institution of the Eucharist, institution of the priesthood and service, into Good Friday, the day of the Lord's mm. Passion, Holy Saturday, which that morning, that day of mourning, Christ is in the tomb, and then we vigil to his glorious resurrection. And so the Triduum actually encompasses, it's 3 days, but really it's 4 days in a sense, because it goes from the evening of Holy Thursday through the evening of Easter Sunday. It concludes after evening prayer. Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday is one of those very unusual days to me, because if you look at the Missal, they're actually in Easter time in terms of how it's been organized. So it's the one day that's in two seasons, really, because it does begin Easter time.
Yeah, you're right.
But the Triduum itself concludes after Easter Sunday. So there's a parallel of time there that you enter into this deep mystery that's really two separate periods.
Yeah.
And it
just notes that that both and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the here but not yet,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of our understanding of Christ's Paschal mystery.
Right.
It's the kingdom which he came to bring. It's here but
mm-hmm.
not yet.
Right.
Yeah. And then of course the Triduum flows into the great 50-day celebration
mm-hmm.
of Easter,
mm-hmm.
The resurrection, marked throughout that season by the accounts of the early church, huh?
mm-hmm.
from the Acts of the Apostles.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to follow this crucified and risen Christ? Well, that's what we hear in those epistles and Acts of the Apostles throughout
right.
the whole Easter season.
Right. His ascension. The sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost,
culminates,
which concludes
yeah.
the season. And then we go back into those weeks of ordinary time.
The longest season
mm-hmm.
of the liturgical
it's
year.
About 6.5
yeah.
months.
Yeah, that whole second
mm-hmm.
half of ordinary time. Again, commonly referred to as summer and autumn
mm-hmm.
ordinary
mm-hmm.
time. But really, it's the second part of that season.
Right. And as we get into the winter months, which we've said before, how lucky we are to be in the northern hemisphere
mm-hmm,
because
yep.
the natural cycle mirrors the liturgical cycle. As things are dying in our natural realm, the lectionary readings point to dying as well and to his second coming. And so that is a perfect blend into the beginning of the next liturgical year because the focus is the same.
It's seamless.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it is seamless.
One year flows right
into
seamlessly
another.
into the next. And again, what governs all of it? The Paschal mystery.
Right.
Well, you know, how do we mark its passing? By celebrating the mysteries of Christ in
right.
in the church's liturgy.
And the entire liturgical year, the calculation of time is begun from finding out the date of Easter. And that's how you figure out when everything else is celebrated.
That's the Epiphany proclamation.
Exactly. On Epiphany, there's a proclamation that is done, which basically proclaims to everyone present when things are celebrated that year, when the date of Easter is, when
that's
Ash
what starts
Wednesday
it.
Happens.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it begins by, it first proclaims the date of the Triduum.
Right, right. When Christ the King, Ash Wednesday, all of those important days, the dates change every year, and that is proclaimed on Epiphany. So that day where Christ is revealed as the light to all nations, that whole aspect of our time is made evident
and announced that
mm-hmm.
that this is what around which we order our
right.
time,
right?
You know, so yeah, all of those dates are given each year, and in a sense, as you say, on the day that we mark the manifestation, the revelation of Christ, then in a sense it's like the church announces, all right, now that we got that established.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the dates mm-hmm. for the coming year that will help continue to order our,
right.
you know,
to mark our beliefs,
right,
our celebrations.
Order this new year that we've entered into. So all of those taken together, that's the liturgical year,
mm-hmm.
made up of those seasons, celebrating and marking the various aspects of the Paschal mystery. And as you and I noted it a couple times today during the breaks and before the show, Danielle, the document that addresses the liturgical year, the general norms for the liturgical year in the calendar, it has that phrase, over the course of the year, the church marks and observes and celebrates the mystery
mm-hmm.
of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
all of it taken together is the great mystery of
right.
of the incarnation, of God entering into and taking on our form
right.
in Christ Jesus.
The Paschal mystery is the center, and I'm glad you mentioned incarnation because when we think of life, death, and resurrection, I think incarnation kind of escapes our thought, but life assumes incarnation.
Right.
And that without incarnation, resurrection would not have happened. So incarnation is that great mystery that really launched everything into being.
The first part of
mm-hmm.
that great mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so over the course, it takes a whole year to
mm-hmm.
celebrate
mm-hmm.
and to mark the great mystery of Christ. That's why, for example, the rite of Christian initiation of adults, talks about the catechumenate. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the period of formation and education for those who are not baptized, mm-hmm. who are preparing for baptism. That's why the church says that the catechumenate should last at least 1 year.
Right.
Because it takes 1 year for those who are preparing to be baptized to enter into the great mystery of Christ over the course of these seasons, over the course of this time.
You know, everything about our Christian lives is ordered. And just in terms of we mark life, we mark by baptism, we mark marriages, we mark funerals and death. So every aspect of our life is ordered around Christ and sanctified.
That's where we'll pick up. Stay with us for the last segment of Focus on the Liturgy right after this.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll talk to Cardinal George about his ad limina visit to Rome and about turning 75. We'll show you highlights of the recent Posada on the streets surrounding Holy Name Cathedral. And our Stewardship and Development Director will talk about all the good that comes from money collected during the annual Catholic Appeal.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to this last segment of Focus on the Liturgy. We've been talking about the liturgical year. We've been talking about sacred time. We've been talking about how, as Catholics, we mark the passing of time by the church's liturgy, mm-hmm. How the church's liturgy orders our time, our seasons, mm-hmm. the year, mm-hmm. for us, and some resources from LTP that I think could be very helpful for any of our listeners who want to explore more this aspect of our Catholic life.
Well, I'm really excited about this first resource. Many of our listeners, they might be already familiar with the book Companion to the Calendar.
That's a great resource.
It was originally published back in 1993. And since then, as we know, John Paul II canonized many, many, many
483.
And one of the reasons for, we always get back to the Roman Missal. One of the reasons for the revision of the Missal was to add those orders of prayer. So
right.
Very practical reason. So that outdated our book. And because a lot of those saints weren't in there.
Yeah.
So we reevaluated the book. Writers have been revising it over the past year, and we're about to go to press with the second edition.
And so, for the listeners, it's a companion to...
The Year of Grace calendar, really, is how it was originally published. Year of Grace is a calendar that's put out every year.
It's the liturgical year in the traditional circle.
It's a circle. It's a beautiful art piece, so all of the corners in the center explicate some aspect of the mystery of faith. So you have all of the seasons that are in their particular colors, and then within those days you have the saints that are celebrated throughout the year. So you learn the temporal cycle, you learn the sanctoral cycle. And all of those days that were on that calendar were then defined and explained in the companion to the calendar. But that book is really a companion to the liturgical year as a whole. So all of the saints that are included in that are on the calendar for the United States as well as Canada. So we've added that for our Canadian users. We've also added some days that are not on the liturgical calendar per se, but are of cultural significance that we'll experience here in the United States, like Los Posadas and Simbang Gabi. And some of the Polish celebrations, so to make it more culturally specific, so it has a wider audience. So all of the saints that John Paul II canonized that are celebrated on our liturgical calendar are in there. There are saints that are of importance in Marian days across the globe. So we're really excited about that. The new authors, Mary Ellen Hines, who authored the original, is a contributing author for this as well. Karina Laughlin, who's written for us before, Donna Crilly, two new authors, Julie Krakora and Robert Rabe, who are actually local authors. Robert is a teacher at Mother Macaulay, and Julie is a youth minister at Franciscan University College of St. Francis out in the Joliet Diocese. So really excited. We go to press in February. Should be available mid-March.
So that would be a great resource for any of the listeners to literally walk through the liturgical year.
Exactly.
Each day is given an explanation, the in-depth explanation of the saint being celebrated that day.
The very first chapter is on Sunday in the week, and then all of the liturgical seasons. So that is the beginning. And then the following chapters are month by month.
Excellent. Excellent. What other resources does LTP have?
Well, of course, as I mentioned, Year of Grace. So we publish that poster annually. So it's updated with the liturgical year of that year. And it's beautifully illustrated. So
always
you can use
is. The artwork changes every year.
And this year, because the Archdiocese of Chicago has designated half the year as the year of the parent. The new calendar that we're putting into production now is on the domestic church.
Oh, all right. So that'll be for
2013, actually.
Right,
so the center of the calendar is on the Holy Family, and the corners are of particular ways that families are actually marking their time. The Christmas corner is the blessing of the manger scene and the blessing of home. So the dates are above the door. Easter, they're baking together. There's Easter basket, and they're making hot cross buns. The bottom corner is a mother teaching her daughter to pray, and then the other corner, which is it corresponds to the seasons, the corners do. So the one of the other corners is for the end times, so they're visiting a grave.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that. This year's calendar that you can purchase now is on the sanctoral cycle, so many saints are on the corners. So if you look at one of the corners, so this is the Christmas, the Advent corner, Saint Nicholas. Is there
the saints that are celebrated in
exactly,
that season? Excellent.
Exactly.
The year of grace every year I think is very beautiful. So listeners can certainly benefit from that. Other resources that help that can help people observe the liturgical year. I think Sourcebook. I always go back to that, the source book for Sunday seasons and weekdays.
Yeah, Sunday seasons and weekdays. So it goes through the entire liturgical year. So you learn about the saints that are celebrated. You learn about the particular days, pastoral ideas for how to interpret the lectionary, how to celebrate the Mass, how parishes and families can celebrate the liturgical year in their lives. So a really great practical resource for liturgists to use for planning.
One resource that I absolutely love but is going out of print and so listeners can still get some copies of them are the source books that LTP has published. They've been around for years, but they are books dedicated to the seasons.
So
it's the seasons of the liturgical year: Advent and Christmas, Lent and Triduum and Easter. There was never one
done
for ordinary
time. time. No.
But for these other seasons.
And there's one on Sunday.
And that's right. Mm-hmm. There is a Sunday one. They're a collection of liturgical texts. They're a collection of poetry. They're a collection of tradition, writings from the fathers, for example. Just all of these pieces of writings, mm-hmm. and different forms of writing. Scripture is in mm-hmm. there that just help flesh out the season. It's a wonderful resource. You can still get them as mm-hmm, long as they mm-hmm. last, the source books on the liturgical seasons themselves.
Well, check out our website. It's www.ltp.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-933-1800. Customer service can help you with any of the needs you might have. If you need a catalog, if you just want to survey the products on the website as well,
go to the website. See all the number of resources that are available for the liturgical year, which has been our topic for the day. So thank you for listening. For all of our listeners, stay tuned for more Catholic programming. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And we'll see you next month on the fourth Wednesday of the month for more Focus on the Liturgy.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.